Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
One of the big things we heard over this weekend was the report about Shedeur Sanders, where it started with Ian Rappaport, a kind of exclusive saying that the Browns are preparing for Shedeur to play at some point this year. I just quickly want to touch on the Mimegate thing, where I still think it's the most overplayed, ridiculous story, and the reaction to it on both sides were crazy to me. Like, there was just nothing measured about that conversation. It was just a lot of people yelling at each other online. The funniest conspiracy theory I had about it, though, was that Shedeur was taking the Browns literally. That the Browns told Shedeur, we don't want you talking about this. Just say no comment or just say I'm happy for Dylan. And then that maybe he took them literally.
Okay.
So here's the verbiage. In the Ian Rappaport piece, sources say Sanders had a discussion with team officials that his approach to the media session was a message that got lost in translation. So basically, they said, don't say a word about it. And he's like, I don't know how to do that. I'm going to pantomime talking. That, how can we not? That's funny. That is very, very funny.
It's funny. It's also funny that they got Rappaport to even report on that.
Yes.
That's the funnier side of things.
Well, and that's, so every part about this was very much a, there was no way this wasn't leaked from the Browns.
Yeah.
Like every part that you read about this screamed, it wasn't an agent. It wasn't, you know, Shedeur himself. It wasn't Dion. It was clear that this was made from the Browns. And I do think that's what's interesting about this is because I think any time the Browns leak any report about Shedeur, it ends up backfiring, even if it's a well-intentioned one like this, which is to tell Shedeur fans, hey, we're going to play your guy at some point this year. Just be patient.
Well, and I'm sure a lot of people think like myself. It's like, yeah, Jimmy Haslam already told us he was going to play this year. You know, like if you just listen to Jimmy Haslam, we'd have both quarterbacks be playing. I know in the past couple weeks, though, I became a little bit more hesitant to the idea that he actually would see the field because there just became a part of me that wondered if they were just going to. I honestly didn't know that they'd move away from Flacco as early as they did, even though I kept telling everyone after 4 weeks is when they had to like actually figure that out. I just didn't know that they'd actually do it. It's what I would do. I was surprised they actually did it. But with this, the part that got me was in this report. Rap Sheet talks about how his development is happening every day. And while we had a long way to go upon arriving as a fifth round draft pick from Colorado, Sanders has worked and he's learned. They're trying to rewrite that initial narrative that was out there that basically Shedeur is wasting everyone's time. Mm-hmm. And the only part that gets me a little angry is that you took a quarterback in the fifth round. You're going to tell everyone that he's just a fifth round quarterback and you're going to then try to get all the credit for how he looks once he plays. That's the part that bothers me the most. It's a sleight of hand that I knew was coming from a million miles away and it's going to paint them to be the savior of this quarterback that didn't actually need saving.
It's also the Eric Andre shooting the guest and being like, who could do this? Like, oh, hey, we're going to try and rewrite that narrative that we ourselves
created.
Propagated.
The calls coming from inside the house, guys.
And like, here's the thing. They didn't create the pre-draft narrative. They created the post-draft narrative on Shedeur, which was insulting, trying to act like there was a massive difference between Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders when both guys were incredibly experienced college quarterbacks. And Shedeur actually fits Kevin Stefanski better than even Dylan does.
One of the reasons why I first started championing for Shedeur Sanders is because he fits Stefanski and the connections that are there, even between his OC and everything else that was there at Colorado. But it is wild to me how they're going to try to spin this in such a way to make it seem like they fixed Shedeur Sanders when I'm never going to look at it that way.
So I think you're right that if everyone survives to the end of the season and Shedeur plays well at the end of the season, and that gives them hope to maybe, not draft a quarterback next year, and Shador maybe and Dylan, they compete for the job, however they kind of play out. I think your instincts are correct if they get there. I don't know after yesterday. I don't know Kevin's definitely going to make it to the end of the season. And I think that's going to be a really interesting development to see if Kevin loses the locker room. Do you give him the rest of the season? Or at some point when you go to Shador, then maybe you give him Tommy Rees, which also allows Tommy Rees to audition for other jobs as well.
I'm okay with that if that happens.
If you're like a Shador fan, I don't know how you can trust Kevin Stefanski play calling for Shador when I think Kevin did any favors for Dylan Gabriel yesterday.
So maybe I looked at it too much from Stefanski's lens. I look at it from Stefanski's lens of that's my ace up my sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
That's my when I feel like I'm about to get fired. Sorry, Dylan Gabriel, you lost your job. Now here Shador comes in, and Shador being, because he's not a fifth round quarterback, guys. Let's get real. Shador's going to step in and he'll look much better. Plus you have that easy stretch up until that Buffalo game late in the season. You have a pretty easy stretch. The Browns could really have a quarterback go in there and look pretty decent. And I think he's going to look at that as like, that's how I save my job.
Do you think that yesterday, because one of the big the next big push and pull is if Dylan is adequate, how long does that buy patience from fans if adequate isn't getting wins?
Oh, we had a caller last hour say they should have drafted Will Howard.
Yeah. We had another caller we didn't end up getting to because we had so many calls in the early part of the show. Humble brag, what up? but that wanted to say, like, when are we going to put Shador in?
Mm-hmm.
I think that, like, most of the time when it comes to quarterbacks, if it's an incumbent quarterback, in this case it's a very short-term incumbent quarterback, most of the time you're really only calling for, if a guy's playing well but losing,
yeah,
you're really not calling for him if you're looking and being like, well, no one catches the passes, the offensive line's terrible, the play calling and the coaching decisions, game management isn't helping him, the defense has a great defensive line, but it's not a great defense from the back seven. Like, those are all things that incumbent quarterbacks get the benefit of the doubt of. I don't know how long fine while losing buys Dylan Gabriel. And that's, I think that's why this felt a little premature. It's like, I don't know why you're trying to appeal to Shador fans who are pissed at you right now because they don't think you're treating that quarterback right. I don't know why you're trying to do that when I don't think you're going to see Shador for at least another 5 weeks, even if Dylan is worse than fine.
Well,
and
here's the part that they're not accounting for, though, because if Dylan does, in fact, play out the way that he did the first game where you lose a lot and he's not really even threatening to go deep, he looks, I called it acceptable. If he looks like somewhere in that range, you then have to justify why you thought Dylan Gabriel was better than Shador.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is where the Kevin Stefanski rubber meets the road. I do wonder, one of the things we've said about Kevin consistently is he's just so stubborn. And there is a cockiness, nay, arrogance to him at points.
Could Haslam just say your decision-making was so awful and thinking Dylan was better than Shador, I have to fire you based off of not only all the losing and everything associated with it, but that's also just a little notch on the belt there?
I mean, I think it might. So yes, to answer your question, because that's a straight-ahead question and fair to ask for a response, I also think it might be if you get 7 weeks in and Dylan never looks better than adequate and you're 0-7, and Kevin's still saying, we got to keep playing Dylan Gabriel because Shador's not ready. I don't know how I can trust. I don't trust Kevin Stefanski now to make that decision. I thought the entire handling of this process has been semi-insulting to Shador.
Mm-hmm.
And Semi is definitely couching it. It's been insulting to Shador. Just distinguishing between these two guys as if there's some wide gap between either guy is, if there is, physically, Shador is the far superior talented quarterback than Timu Tua. But like, you lose a lot of games with Kevin's handpicked quarterback. Again, it doesn't matter if he's, because if you're losing and you're playing fine, we're just going to think you're a backup. We're going to think you're Gardner Minshew in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
If Kevin continues to go, nah, we got to give Dylan a chance, or Shador's not ready, that in and of itself becomes a landmine for him.
Yeah, no, I just thought this was the first like olive branch to the idea that they feel like they're coaching Shador up and the light bulb is going on for Shador and all the rhetoric that I just never really bought into, that Shador's light bulb needs to go off to begin with anyway, you know? Mm-hmm. But I feel like you have to start it from somewhere, right? You can't tell everybody, and they told everybody, because you got text, I got text, we got text all through training camp and all this other stuff, that Shador didn't know what the hell he was doing, etc. You can't tell everybody those type of messages and then continued to keep going down that road and then say, now he's our starting quarterback. You have to slowly but surely say, oh no, things are starting to happen. Shador looks really good. Hey, how about those extra periods that is going on after practice that Ross Tucker told us about? You think that was an accident a week ago? Or three weeks ago, because I was off for 2 weeks. You think that was an accident? That wasn't an accident. Like they're starting to build up the narratives that it's starting to click for Shador. And I don't think, I think it's very intentional, because ultimately they're going to want to take credit for it if Shador looks good.
Well, and here's the other thing. They got bailed out by the last preseason game. Because one of the things that was so infuriating was them saying, Shador is just so behind, he doesn't really... And then he was acing every opportunity mm-hmm. in practice and in preseason until that last preseason game. And they were talking about how far ahead Dylan Gabriel was. He looked awful in practice, and he looked awful in the one preseason game he did play until that last game. Well, now you can't hide. Now you can't hide behind... No, when guys play... You can hide behind, well, we're coaching up. You can hide behind, well, it's because of this, that, and the other. No. It's just, how did Dylan play? And eventually, it's just, how did Shador play? And so, God help you if Dylan looks adequate, fine, and they lose a bunch of games, and then you turn to Shador, and he comes alive in December and looks like the far better player. I don't think there's going to be a Browns fan that's going to buy this slow turn. They might buy it today. They certainly have bought it the last couple of weeks because of some of the messaging we've got from fans on Twitter. Mm-hmm. They're not going to buy it in December when you can actually see it in real time.
And they shouldn't. Again, maybe I'm just off base. Maybe I'll end up being the wrong one out of all this, and Shador was just so far behind, and they've been 100% honest to us the entire stretch of the way with Shador. Just don't believe it, guys. But we'll find out, yeah, because Dylan's playing early enough that we're going to be able to find out.
216-474-0092. So when is the earliest we could see Shador Sanders? It was apparent that report yesterday was to try and calm people down who are mad at the way the Browns are treating Shador Sanders. Could have maybe just not done all the other theatrics earlier this year to try and pull the sleight of hand. Maybe could have just not done that. Could have been very up and up. But listen, who am I? Right? Who am I? Just
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Using logic, for anybody that has watched Dylan Gabriel for any amount of time, the sailing passes beyond 10 yards has been kind of been his shtick. And so it's so funny. Yeah. You know, people have one of the things we're going to ask is, did Dylan Gabriel surprise you yesterday? And I was surprised that people were surprised, because to me, like, the vanilla offense, what they asked to do with Dylan, like, the game plan you saw yesterday is mostly what you should be doing with Dylan Gabriel, and him sailing passes on longer than 10-yard passes is part and parcel with what you get with Dylan, and why I thought he was more of a backup than a starting NFL quarterback.
Well, and why, to your credit, you told everyone with the Joe Flacco design that it's like, this is clearly made for Dylan Gabriel. And you're watching everything that Joe Flacco was trying to do, you saw then Dylan Gabriel try to do, obviously minus then the one or two big throws.
And I think that's what maybe, I think if you want to be truly outraged about Kevin Stefanski, I think the idea that they clearly have developed this offense for Dylan, and they probably shortchanged Joe to some level with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Dylan got in, like, again, fine, quality, adequate. But surprise? No, he looked like a functional quarterback yesterday. And functional, I'm talking about, like, at best, a system quarterback. I think he can get better at some things. I'm sure that we didn't see peak Dylan Gabriel yesterday. But there was nothing about what a good or bad that Dylan did yesterday that surprised me. I think that is the aggregate of what I expect from Dylan Gabriel. If we average out what I expect him to do over the next 7 to 8 weeks, that's it. So the situation around him has to get better.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately for Dylan Gabriel, we all watched him play 63 starts in college, yeah. And it's like this was nothing new happened. We've all seen him play football. Now, the only thing I did forget momentarily, and it kept popping up in that game, was how mobile he is. Yeah. But I think that's just because we just saw Joe Flacco be a statue back there, and so anybody doing any sort of movement trying to escape a pocket and get away was always going
to
surprise us.
I tried like 7 times yesterday to compose a tweet trying to decipher the difference between Dylan having mobility and people referring to him as a mobile quarterback because of what you just said. I'm like, I can't give him he's a mobile quarterback. Mobile quarterback to me is a guy who can do what Lamar can do. As a matter of fact, the 3rd and 10 where he picked up 8.
Yeah.
So that's a quarterback who can move. That's not a mobile quarterback. A mobile quarterback gets a 1st down on 3rd and 10.
Right, but we went from a statue. We went from a guy wearing cinder blocks on his feet to then having somebody that's like, oh, wait, they can't escape it. Even though when he got those piles on him, though, have you ever seen a quarterback just disappear quicker? You're trying to watch the game, and you're trying to like follow the quarterback, and then the swarm would happen, and you lose him because he's so tiny.
I would love.
No, I don't even mean that in like a mocking way. It's just true.
I would love to see him and Kyler Murray stand. We just have a short king off.
Oh yeah, both of them do run, by the way, the same way where they run like a toddler that just stole their parents' iPhone.
I was thinking bow legged. We're like they
that's
but we're describing the same thing. Yeah.
They just have all their energy. They're very top heavy. Have all their energy into it though, and it just.
I can't remember
quick,
what
sudden bursts.
I cannot remember what old baseball player used to do the mocking old timey run to first base. I cannot remember who it was. It was a dude that played in the 80s or 90s, and he didn't do it in a game, but he would do it in like practice.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Costner did it in Bull Durham. Okay. When they're playing the rain out game, when they're trying to get the game rained out, and he does the running thing.
Yeah.
That's what it reminds me of. Of like, I know you're athletic. I'm watching you. You are athletic, but you just, this is not, this looks like, that's how I should look running, of just like, there's a lot of pieces and parts, and none of them are firing in the right direction here.
But it was a nice surprise. That part was a nice surprise. Outside of that, I don't know any fan that could walk away thinking generational or franchise or anything like that. Now, it's tough. This is game. It's game one.
Yep.
Like, everyone gives Cam Ward such a break for the struggles early on, and you should. Cam Ward's played 5 career games, you know? It's how this works for everybody. But when you're taken in the spot that Dylan is, and Shore's going to have the same thing, too, just need to deliver right away. And it's unfair, but it's what the expectation
is. So I'm glad you said that, because that was something I do think, as somebody who's called him Timu Tua, that I have to be able to put out
it's
there.
It's much harder to say than
it
welfare
is.
Tua.
It is, but that's what I like a challenge. I do like a challenge.
Okay.
Why I'm doing that on a Monday? No real idea.
It just doesn't roll off the tongue.
But I do like, I think it is important to say, okay, that's game one. What's game two look like? And what does game three look like? Like, the one thing I will say is the test that he passed was, all right, I didn't turn off the TV because I couldn't watch you play. We were there with Joe at the end.
Yeah, okay.
Where it was but like, I can't watch agreed. This. This is pissing me off. This is not where we were with Dylan, but there does have to be some forward progression. It's not always going to be linear, but over 5 weeks.
Okay, the disheartening part about this, Nick, is that, and you know this, and I know this, and people listening right now know this, that's what we're getting.
Yeah.
Like there's
some iteration of that.
So I mentioned Cam Ward, right? The idea why the Titans can be cool with him kind of stinking for a little stretch here is because every now and again, he's going to make a throw like he did in yesterday's game. And you're going to see something where you're like, oh, that's cool. Bottle that up. And we got something here and we can go with this. Whereas with Dylan, what you saw yesterday is what you're going to get. And it's going to be a bunch of short passes every week. We're going to talk about it being the lowest ADOT, average depth of target, in the entire NFL. We're talking about his yards per attempt being the lowest in the NFL. Every week, we're going to get the same story, and it's going to be dink and dunk. And then when we do watch him try to, you know, stretch the field and throw it deep, it's going to be airmail.
And here's the thing. When it comes to Cam Ward, you can apply a lot of nuance to that game because the physical talents aren't in doubt. With Dylan, and again, because of the timeline and because of the physical talents, it's going to be make me a bicycle clown.
For sure.
It's going to be, did you break 20 points per game? Did we have 3 touchdown drives
right now, 20
in a game?
Might, 20 might feel like 40 for a fan base right now.
That's, by the way, our buddy Dave Denholm exactly used that exact same thing to him when I was like, offense looked decent. And he's like, they scored a touchdown. And I was like, okay, 10 points. If they get to 20, that's going to feel like Mahomes just dropped 40 on somebody. I'm so glad you said that, because it was the exact same thing I sent back to Dave.
I think we had that with the it was the Bengals game. I remember us talking after in week two, and it was like, he was like, yeah, but the offense did. And it was like, they still ended up only scoring 16 points, you know, like, which is, it's just how our minds have been warped a little bit, because now what are we on? 10 straight games where Stefanski hasn't scored more than 17.
Well, remember, none of that is Kevin Stefanski's fault.
Yeah. 10 straight dating back to last season, which is just a wild thing to even think about happening.
So we asked earlier, you know, if fans turned on Stefanski. I do think it's like, are we finally ready to admit this isn't just about personnel? Because I think it's been really hard in this town to have a genuine conversation about Kevin and what he does well and what he doesn't. I mentioned earlier, like, okay, not leadership, not communication, team penalized a lot. The offense, I can't hold to a high standard of scoring 27 points a game. Like, what can I grade this guy on? Mm-hmm. And every time it's two-time coach of the year. Every time it's, well, no, but that's Jimmy Haslam. Every time there's been some sort of an excuse, if nothing else. Again, I'm not ready to say fire Kevin Stefanski. I'm a little worried that that's the kind of loss that you lose the locker room on, and then you'll have no choice. But I'm not there yet. It's impossibly early for me, who expected them to be bad, to come out and say, oh, he's got to go. Nope, that was a bad loss. That one's on Kevin. But I'm not going to the extremes yet. But I do hope that at least we can start having a genuine conversation of, this isn't good enough. And I've said normalize bad offense. You just kind of hinted at it there. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. He doesn't have a lot of talent around him. And yet, that hasn't stopped a Minnesota team that is on their, fifth different quarterback in 3 years? And let's see, they had five missing offensive linemen, only one starter in, and on their third string offensive lineman.
And then went 80 yards down the field.
And by the way, Justin Jefferson, okay. Justin Jefferson also had some moments where he got...
You're seeing this everywhere, Nick.
Yes.
You're seeing this everywhere. We brought up your buddy McCorkle, Mac Jones, for a reason. Well, you're seeing this everywhere in the NFL. Like, they're making these guys 350-yard games, three-touchdown games, scoring a bunch of points, and it's like, you just don't... How are you an offensive-minded head coach, and that's supposed to be what you do best, and you've gone 10 straight games without scoring 17 points?
And so that, to me, is... So what I just said about Dylan is the same thing I'm saying about Kevin. Make me a bicycle clown. Okay? I don't give a rip about the context here. Penalties? That's not... for KT Leviston, it is about talent. But when it comes to stupid penalties, of which there were too many yesterday...
Shelby Harris?
That's coaching.
Yeah.
Shelby.
What are you doing there?
He giveth and taketh away.
What are you doing, man?
Like, we get the Green Bay block, and then... I'm not going to waste him.
It felt like he had one to waste. He's like, I can do one big misstep.
He's like,
I built up enough goodwill.
So what you're saying is, if Dwayne Rudd had just made like an exceptional game-winning play a game before, doing the helmet off,
Dwayne
Rudd would have stayed in Cleveland.
I feel like for Shelby Harris, that's his thought process there. It's like, I can get away with this one.
216-474-0092. Is it okay to finally grade Kevin Stefanski off the offense? Or do we still have to fall back on he doesn't have enough talent?
You know that's going to be the narrative.
I don't think that. I disagree.
Not here. Okay. I need to make the clarification. I meant more like when we have Ross on, when we have Albert on, when we have people that want to defend Stefanski, that's what they're going to go with. They're going to ask us point blank, well, how many wins do you think Andy Reid could have with this team? That's the line they're going to use. How many could Shanahan have with this team? And it's going to miss a lot of the context that we've been discussing around with Stefanski.
Can I fire back that I think Vrabel would have this team at 3-2? Or is that just going to...
Please!
Is that just going to hurt us worse because we know it's
Please,
true?
Please, get it ready, because that's what's coming. That's the response coming from those guys when we have this Stefanski conversation.
I just don't... And trying to win the war about Kevin Stefanski, I don't want to deflate Browns fans any more than it already feels like we're deflated. Chris in Chicago, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Nick, thanks for taking my thunder. You probably saw Chris wanted Vrabel.
Nick can't see right now today, Chris.
I have paint in my eyes from painting yesterday.
Things, I promise you, he didn't see what you had to say.
I can barely see Jax across the way, so I am struggling.
All right.
I can't see the screener now either. We both have problems today.
It's probably also the 75 lights we have in our face.
I think that might be the real issue.
Oh, that's right, because you guys are live or whatever.
Chris.
Or whatever.
Live on YouTube every weekday going forward. Today's the first day. We brushed that on... we brush that under the carpet there 2 days from now. Not today, sir.
So I'm not a good pitch man, apparently. But anyway,
depends what you're pitching.
Yeah, you
neither's Kevin Stefanski, if we're being honest.
Well, I don't know what Vrabel's kind of internship that he did last year in Berea. I was very sad when, and I think he was going to take that New England job, you know, regardless. But I was sad when he left, knowing who we had still as a coach. And you can't really put the two names in the same sentence. It's just, I am not a Stefanski guy. I'm happy to see him go. And it's just, you just knew the season was going to be a disaster, but you were hoping that it wouldn't be, and it already is. So, and Barry can go too. Not a fan of either guy.
I think Barry is going to be a lot tougher to do that with.
I think Chris, Barry's earning a lot of good graces for people right now.
I mean, what was one of the things? I mean, Albert, one of the number one things he tweeted about yesterday was how great the rookie class was. And we're talking Quinshon, Schlesinger, Mason Graham. Like, it. As a bad, okay.
I almost quote tweeted the photo of him and Barry hanging out together at the Shoe, but that's
this was always going to be the conversation of, can one of these guys get the drop on the other, right? Because this is how the NFL works.
Yeah, but I thought they were Bert and Ernie. I thought they were tied to the hip, but Barry's separating himself now.
Yeah, but that's they are until they aren't, because we know how the NFL works.
To the aren't part of this,
but I still think there's time. There's time to keep the band together.
Okay.
But if you end up 1-9, and I'm trying to think, I think that's right around the Tennessee game. I mean, if you're 1-9 and you have a Tennessee, yeah.
Timing's everything in life, right?
Yes.
And the timing right now favors Barry, because it's the only time in Barry's time being here that we can say, whoa, look at the drafting that he's done.
You can look, okay, in fairness, you could fire Barry for any myriad of things he did the first 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be woeful timing because of Schlesinger, Graham, Fannin, Quinshon. Hey, Dylan might be a backup quarterback. But for this draft class in general has so much talent. It would just, that really would be like a, okay, what are we doing here? Whereas with Stefanski, well, now you are 4-18 in your last, gosh, math is hard. 4-18. 22 games. Thank you very much. And you've got 2 winning seasons and 1 playoff win in 6 seasons.
So, but an important distinction there that I just want to highlight is the idea that with Stefanski, part of the problem I have with Kevin right now, he's not getting any better at this. He's getting worse at this. You're supposed to be getting better. The more years you do anything, you're supposed to be getting better. He seems like he's getting worse. Whereas, at least with Andrew Barry, I can point to the idea that it looks like he's learned lessons and he is getting better at being able to evaluate the talent and being able to actually draft talent. And so that's a feather in his cap.
Yeah, I mean, if they liked Andrew already and they didn't fire him last year, and then the recency bias favors him, you don't have to do math like I just tried to do with 4+.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
18. Checked in with the chat.
Oh, yeah? You chatting it up?
Yeah. Oh, you know, we're on YouTube.
Do you have any super chats yet or no?
What is that?
A super chat is when people give money to then have their comment rise to the top of the boards.
Why would you do that?
It's what people do. They're like, here's $5, super chat, and then they like their comment goes to the top of the board.
Where does the money go?
To the creator's pocket. So, like, not us. Like,
yeah.
The fan would get that money.
Oh,
good. I don't think they break us off a piece of the super chats. That's kind of that's a good angle, though. Future contract negotiations. I just want a little cut of that super chat.
Do I gotta get 10% of the VIG on that?
Yeah, well, a little cut of the super chat, please.
So it's a cool idea. I should say it's a cool idea.
You don't love the idea.
Well, no. I think it's the branding that bugs me. Super chat just feels like a very lazy way of branding it. It's you've had chat.
Now it's
super. Have you had super chat?
Well, no, the weird thing about that is that, you know, it was a whole boardroom of people that came up with that, and they thought about that for months before they rolled it out. It was like, We're going to call it a super chat.
There's one guy within YouTube that has risen at least three ranks in the company simply because he added super ahead of chat, then they put it together.
So you see Jack in that corner office?
Yeah.
That man came up with the super chat, and we are better for it.
So while the Browns' loss was certainly humiliating, can we all agree? I'm glad I'm not a Cardinals fan today. I mean, I'm glad I'm not a Cardinals fan in general because, oof. But
yeah, that ownership stinks. Broke franchise. It's been miserable for them.
When you're up 21-6 with 12 minutes to go, and Amari DiMercato fumbles on a 76-yard touchdown run as he crosses into the end zone,
mm-hmm.
still wasn't the worst part of the whole game.
Yeah.
Still also not the entire reason why they lost the game either, just while we're clear.
Yeah, no. I mean, some people are saying they're trying to put it up there with Dennis Green's, obviously the big speech and everything. Like they're trying to find out if this is, up until that point, one of the worst losses the Cardinals have ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because there's not, it's not just one thing. It's not just dropping the ball before the end zone, which, by the way, we watched a Colts player do that last week as well. Just run 2 more feet, guys. It's not that hard. But it's also that play with Cam Ward late in the game as well that should have sealed it. Once you have an interception in that spot, it was a 9-point game with about 4.5 minutes left to go. That's blouses. That's game over.
I don't give a rip what your name is. If you fumble going into the end zone and you don't recover it, I think it should be mandated across the league. You just get cut.
You're just gone.
I almost said fired, and I was like, that's not what we call it in football. But no, I think you should get cut on the spot. Dodo brain move. And again, I'm going to defend Amari DiMercato in a second. It's just such a Dodo move.
But the difference there, though, so like if we wanted to say Andre Schmidt should lose his job because he missed a field goal, it's like, all right, fine. Yeah. You missed the field goal. You were nowhere close. And Schmidt's done a good job recently, but you know what I mean? It's like, all right, I get it. You
I
messed
think he's
up.
Still Schmidt.
But with Mitchell with the Colts and then in this situation with the Cardinals yesterday, both players had outstanding plays to lead up to them being bozos.
Yep.
A massive difference to me.
Yep. Not for me. No.
That's like a 71-yard run
But it's so dumb. Like a missed kick could just be you have the yips or maybe you got bubble guts. Like there's a million reasons why you can just miss a kick wide right. And it's 35-yarder is really pathetic at this point.
So I see what you're saying though. So it's made you too dumb to function.
Yes. Yes, if you're run 76 yards.
Football intelligence that you can't get past.
In fairness, he ran 70 yards and kind of jogged the next 6 yards.
I actually thought he was in. I mean, I know they slowed it down and showed that he wasn't, but like when you're watching it in real time, I thought he cleared it by 3 yards.
In fairness, I think they should just give him the damn touchdown. I don't know why we're taking it off the board, but still.
This is like
IQ
when they
test.
Slow down instant replay to see that the runner came off the bag by like just inches after they slowed it down and then he's out. It's like, come on.
That's
not the spirit of what we're trying to do here.
I will tell you, that does say one thing about us that does not exist in sports, that we're actually humans, because most sports viewing audience has no mercy, which is honestly what I'm saying about just this play in general. But there is a part of me that you and I both go, just give it to the guy. That's not...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the bloodlust would come out if you ever were like, well, okay, by the letter of the law, it should be a fumble. The game should be.
Wait until it happens against your team. Then all of a sudden everyone becomes police officers and we're playing by the law.
So you've mentioned a few different things that cost them the game.
Yeah, there was three major ones, but there's probably like seven things that cost them the game.
I'll tell you why they lost. It's because their head coach. I know Jonathan Gannon's a local kid, mm-hmm. got a lot of love, happy for him for the success he's had. In that moment, when Amari DiMercato comes over the sideline, you've got multiple leaders going over, including your left tackle, going over, giving this kid love, saying, hey, man, we're still in this. We got you. Anyone could have made that mistake. Whether those things are true or not doesn't matter.
Yeah.
For Jonathan Gannon to go, he didn't just go off on him. He had to be separated from Amari DiMercato. You lost your composure. You cannot be surprised then that the rest of your team lost composure. And that to me, like Kevin Stefanski lost composure in a very different way. And he took his eye off the ball. He got outcoached and lost his ass. What Jonathan Gannon did is the same penalty, which is you were still up by that point.
Yeah.
2 scores. And by allowing that to happen, you completely deflated your team as opposed to if you would just let him step back and let your leaders take care of Amari DiMercato.
I think he's starting to feel it is what's happening here. Remember, the Cardinals were a completion away from basically putting that 49ers game in week 3 on ice. They lost that one. They were badly outplayed by the Seahawks back in week 4, but then they had the late comeback that pushed them into overtime. Like I think Gannon is just feeling it in a way that you see, because this is not a 2-3 football team. If you go off just what I laid out right there and just really just used past games included, that 49ers game, this team easily should be 3-2, 4-1.
I think so. You might be right on that. Okay, so I do want to give credence to what you're saying. What I'm
and
saying
the Colts
is
and the Packers up over the next two games. I think Gannon just understands like he had to win that game and they melted down.
I think John Gannon's already a bit of a Tommy Toughnuts.
Might be right.
Like I always talk about leader of men. Leader of men does not equate to screaming at dudes. Leader of men is about being straightforward with guys. It is about setting a tone, setting an expectation, and then coaching to that tone and that expectation. Jonathan Gannon is to me the cliche of what people think a leader of men is. And in the moment, like, listen, I don't love Kevin Stefanski just being, huh, I guess it's a fumble. I don't love that either.
Mm-hmm.
But you cannot, when you're still ahead by that much,
yeah,
you cannot go away. Make sure you go over to a player who's getting his first, who, by the way, is your third string running back. You cannot go over to him, berate him to the point where people are trying to pull you away and you're not letting them, by the way, which is a whole nother master's class in assery. But to then to go back to your coaching post in sulk, you lost the game, not DiMercato. As a matter of fact, there were 7 losing plays in there. Amari's was the first. The next 6 were on Gannon to me.
Yeah, I just always think, like, what does that help in that moment? You know, I think there's certain times where you can get on a player and it actually does. It benefits them in some sort of way, or maybe it's enlightening to them in some sort of way. But in that moment, you think he didn't know what a dumb thing that was? He knows it. You're just, that's salt in the wound is all that is. It just makes no sense to me. By the way, this next-gen stat, the average win probability for the Titans at any point during this game was 12.1%. That's the lowest for any winning team in any game since 2016.
Also, you might have...
They weren't supposed to win this, and it's very obvious they weren't supposed to win this.
Also, you might have just bought Brian Callahan more time, which is equally unjust for Titans fans who have to watch him coach that team.
He's gonna get his. I think he knows that. I say that if like I have like some sort of vendetta against Brian Callahan, he'll get his.
Yeah,
no, listen, he's not very good at his job.
Karma's coming for Brian Callahan, and for taking Bill Callahan from us. If Amari DiMercato was a Browns player, would you want him cut after that fumble? I would imagine whatever the Andre Schmidt, oh Schmidt moment was, the Amari DiMercato thing, it would have been a bloodbath today on Cleveland radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.